This is Eric.
And this is Phil.
And you're listening to the Rock Flife Podcast.
On today's show, we'll be talking with Brian Briquet from Sterling. Rock for Life volunteer Josh Pruitt will be telling us about his past with Rock for Life. Joey will be here to let us know what's up with Planned Parenthood. And more news and commentary from your hosts, Eric and Phil. All that and more from this episode of the Rock for Life Podcast. The times that were behind you. One day late, that's all it takes. Just to ruin fate. But know this now. Like a father loves the youth. That's how I love you. So give him the word.
Hey, thanks for listening to the podcast. If you haven't subscribed yet, make sure to go to podomatic.rockforlife.com and subscribe. Phil, what you got news-wise?
Well, big story this week. The U.S. Supreme Court decided to uphold the Partial Birth Abortion Ban Act of 2003 by a 5-4 decision.
So what does that mean?
That means that the court says that the U.S. government can ban a certain type of abortion procedure.
Now, wait. So what is the partial birth abortion?
Well, partial birth abortion covers several different types of abortion procedures, but the one that this ban specifically prohibits is called intact dilation and evacuation, in which the doctor delivers the baby partway, inserts scissors into the back of the skull, and removes the brains, collapsing the skull, and delivering the rest of the baby.
Does this ban allow for any exceptions?
The ban allows for an exception for the life of the mother. It does not allow for the health of the mother, which is what previous Supreme Court decisions have struck down.
Yeah, well, here's my thing with it is that, does the bill actually ban any babies from being slaughtered? For instance, if, you know, a doctor usually performs partial birth abortions on babies, and now he or she can just perform another abortion, isn't that correct?
That is true. This does nothing to stop the practice of aborting a child at that stage of life. It just bans one procedure.
Right, and so the whole thing with this Supreme Court decision, Roe v. Wade or Doe v. Bolton or even personhood wasn't even really addressed.
No, it wasn't. Despite what you may hear from pro-abortion groups out there, this is not touching Roe v. Wade. And in fact, I would go as far to say that the real victors in this case are the fundraising efforts of the major pro-abortion groups, of which you've already noticed within minutes of it coming out, Planned Parenthood was fundraising off of it.
It's very interesting you said that because I signed up for their text mob dealio at one of their websites. And as soon as I was in a meeting and I got their text mob, and that's what they sent. They sent a message about, kind of a vague message about, you know, a Supreme Court decision affecting abortion, but make sure you go to the certain website. And you go to the certain website, and it has their statement, and then obviously a big, you know, make a donation here to help us, you know, fight to restore rights for women and all that stuff. And I've received numerous email blasts from all these groups, and they're all, it is very peculiar that it does seem all about fundraising. Very interesting. So I think at this point, we just need to keep educating young people on the horrors of all abortion, because the thing is that partial birth abortion is gruesome, but so is suction and aspiration. That's gruesome. So is cutting babies up and pulling them apart limb from limb. That's gruesome. So we need to continue educating people on the horrors of all abortion and focus our efforts on restoring total protection for all people from the moment of conception until natural death. No exceptions, no compromise.
Now, a few interesting facts about partial birth abortion. Several years ago, 1997, in an interview with the New York Times, Ron Fitzsimmons, who at that point was the executive director of the National Coalition of Abortion Providers, claimed that the majority of dilation and evacuation abortions, the ones that were specifically banned in this case, are done on healthy mothers and healthy fetuses. Dr. Pamela Smith, who is the director of medical education at the Department of OBGYN at Mount Sinai Hospital in Chicago, and I quote, said, "There are absolutely no obstetrical situations encountered in this country that would require partial birth abortion to preserve the life or health of the mother." And Dr. Martin Haskell, who himself claims to have performed hundreds of these intact dilation and evacuation procedures, says that by his estimate, at least 80% are purely elective. And speaking of Dr. Martin Haskell, we have audio tape of him in 1992 at a conference put on by the National Abortion Federation talking about the procedure and describing it in detail. And listen to what happens at the end.
At this point, the procedure is really pretty easy. You have a lot of control. It's really easy to slide the scissor up there and safely puncture the skull without endangering the patient. The crux of the procedure really is getting the lower extremity delivered. Once you've got that, it's easy.
You're really brave.
Wow, man, the sounds, totally disgusting, but what's amazing is the applause that he receives. On April 11th, the U.S. Senate passed two bills, S-5, the Stem Cell Research Enhancement Act, and S-30, the HOPE Act. And basically, S-5 is advancing the killing of human embryos, human persons in their embryonic stage of life, simply to obtain their stem cells for research that has proven nothing, has shown no promise. Most pro-lifers have been adamantly, opposed to S-5. But the problem is that we have another bill, S-30, which some are calling as the ethical alternative to S-5. And the reason they say that is because the way that it's worded is that it would limit research to human embryonic persons deemed naturally dead or incapable of surviving outside the womb. And the problem is that that can be, how can a human embryo be living but then be deemed naturally dead?
An interesting thing to note is that within the past 2 weeks, there have been some new treatments discovered using adult stem cells. In the UK, a researcher found that they can repair cardiac tissue using stem cells obtained from the patient itself. And recently, it's been discovered that using adult stem cells, they can repair the cornea of an eye that's been damaged.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're always hearing about these advances in stem cell research using adult stem cells. And it's just amazing that we see all of these advances and people being treated and healed successfully, but then stem cells taken from human embryos has produced nothing, zero. But don't be fooled by S-30, the HOPE Act. It is not an ethical alternative. It still calls for the destroying of human embryos who are people and who deserve the right to live. Yes.
Going a little further with that.
Whoa.
A lot of people don't realize that these pieces of legislation address the governmental funding of embryonic stem cell research, when in reality, in the private sector, it's already being funded. Now, here you have an interesting instance where people are clamoring for the government to fund research which is going to benefit the pocketbooks of large pharmaceutical corporations, who essentially are just going to be getting free money from the government. Essentially, it's an investment in that company that the U.S. government's not going to get a return on.
So, Phil, have you heard about the study that came out, disproving that abstinence-only education programs are
false? I kind of have. I noticed on MySpace in this past week there have been a lot of bulletins being sent around by Planned Parenthood and NARAL that say that a new study came out that disproves the functionality of abstinence-only education. And I also saw something on Drudge Report basically claiming that this study disproves it. Is this the study you're talking about?
Yes, that is the one. And here's the deal, is the Health and Human Services paid Mathematica several million dollars to do a study on abstinence-only education programs. And basically, all they did was study four programs. And I've heard two different reports that there's over 700 and there's over 900 programs going on. So they just studied four. And the news media picked up on this and basically said, well, see, abstinence-only education programs, that they fail, and all of the pro-abortion organizations and pro-sex ed, organizations touted this as, CCC, you need to defund this, you need to give us more money, because what we do works. And I really think that, I mean, it's far from the truth. And the author of the study is quoted in there as saying, targeting youth at young ages may be insufficient. And basically what she's saying is that the study focuses more on young kids before they're even, the age where you'd be sexually active if, young people do go in that direction. And so it sort of proves that we need to keep educating kids throughout their teen years through, not only junior high and high school as well. We teach and instruct young people to abstain from various forms of destructive behavior. But check this out. How come we're not spending millions of dollars studying sex ed programs to find out that, hey, when you go into schools and you teach sex ed programs, that the rate of diseases go up, the rate of unplanned pregnancies go up, the rate of abortions go up, and stuff like that. Why don't we spend our money there? So, Phil, I'm from Portland, and there's some stuff going on over there that you would like to bring to the attention of our listeners. What's up?
On April 11th, the city of Portland, Oregon, that is, not Portland, Maine, gave Planned Parenthood the go-ahead to relocate their offices, which contain an abortion-performing facility, from a neighborhood with a 2% African-American population to a neighborhood with a 42% African-American population.
So, why is that significant?
Well, this might be tied into the whole fact that the founder of Planned Parenthood, Margaret Sanger, wasn't particularly fond of people who weren't white like her. A lot of people got angry that Planned Parenthood was going to be moving into their neighborhood, and so they spoke out at the committee hearing. In one instance, a pro-lifer even asked the committee to take a look at scenes from It's Perfectly Normal, the book that Planned Parenthood promotes using to teach young people as young as 12 about sex.
And what did they say about the book?
The dude said, why would I want to see porn?
Good point. Yeah. So I would assume that since the commissioner saw that this book, basically related to porn, that he wouldn't want young kids to see this book, which would mean not allowing Planned Parenthood to move into that location.
No, and despite the fact that 90% of the churches in the area also oppose it, the fact that there were more people at the meeting speaking against bringing Planned Parenthood in, the fact that the neighbors to the property that Planned Parenthood would be relocating to, the Islamic Society of Greater Portland, the fact that they oppose it.
Very interesting.
Nope, they didn't listen to him. J. Salma Ahmad, the president of the Islamic Society of Greater Portland, said that the Muslim Center is a place to pray for life, and next door, they're probably going to be taking life. Podcast at rockforlife.org, that's where you can reach us. Speaking of Planned Parenthood, Joey, what now?
Well, Phil, what now with Planned Parenthood? If you didn't know, the way Planned Parenthood is set up is it's a national organization, but it has like 117 different affiliate groups that it's composed of. One of the most notorious groups is Planned Parenthood of the Golden Gate, which is based out of San Francisco. Throughout Planned Parenthood's history, Planned Parenthood of the Golden Gate has had some of the most notoriously offensive stuff that's ever come out. And judging from last week, they're not planning on changing that anytime soon. Last week, on Monday, April 16th, Planned Parenthood of the Golden Gate launched its newest ad in its quote-unquote Safest Sexy series. The commercial, which is entitled Amen for Safe Sex, features a young couple together in bed, and there's a grungy-looking male angel sitting there in tube socks watching them from his place on the headboard. And we're actually going to play a little clip of the ad for you so you can hear yourselves about the dialogue that goes on.
What are you doing?
I like to watch.
You're sick. Aren't you supposed to be the guardian angel of safe sex?
Just keep your halo on. Watch this.
Any protection?
Yeah, of course.
Amen.
Huh? You know, you look pretty hot.
Now, if you didn't notice, the woman, after they decide to quote-unquote use protection, says, amen. It's clear that this ad was written as an attack on Christians. Basically, by suggesting that a guardian angel, which is given to us by God to protect us and ultimately, hopefully, guide us to heaven, it's scandalous that Planned Parenthood would say this guardian angel would want people to use contraception when they're about to take part in the marital embrace. Along the same lines, when the woman says amen at the end, it suggests to the viewers that contraception is responsible Christian behavior. Of course, this couldn't be any further from the truth. Contraception is a clear violation of all of the fundamental things that make sex a holy act. When you use contraception, you're denying all of those things. Not to mention how irresponsible it is to say that using a condom to protect you or your loved one from a disease with such a high rate of failure is responsible. Now, what makes the ad even more outrageous is that Planned Parenthood even admits that it's an attack. According to Lisa Sargent, who is the chaplain for Planned Parenthood of the Golden Gate, she said, and quote, "I love the fact that this ad challenges popular conceptions of religion and sexuality." It's clear that it's an attack. They specifically say that it is, that it's supposed to change conceptions of religion and sexuality. Now, if you look back at how Planned Parenthood manipulated church teachings to accept contraception in the 1940s, all the way up to its book, Sacred Work, that claims Planned Parenthood's actions are in fact Christian, this attack on faith and morals is really nothing new. But just because it's nothing new doesn't mean we shouldn't do anything about it. After all, it is an attack. So if you're outraged by this, don't let Planned Parenthood get away with it any longer. All of our listeners should spread the word. Planned Parenthood is anti-Christian. And if any of our listeners are tired of Planned Parenthood trying to manipulate the teachings of Christ and his church and want to get involved, call us to learn more or visit www.all.org/stopp and sign up for our weekly email list to learn more about what is going on with Planned Parenthood.
An absent thought, I still lay awake by the dreams you've had that make that heart you take. I'm losing my mind, backwards in time, forwards, forwards, rewind. In time, forward, forward, rewind. If you knew the things I've done, you wouldn't even beckon my name.
Okay, so this is Eric with Rock for Life, and I'm on the phone with Brian from Sterling. How's it going, Brian?
Doing good.
Awesome. Where are you guys located at?
Tyler, Texas, out east of Dallas.
Now, you guys sent me the forward rewind. Tell me what's going on with some any future recordings or whatever.
Well, what we're doing right now is we're trying to sort of, I hate to say the label thing, but we're just looking for the right support to put us in a good position to make a better record. We know we have like the songwriting ability, and we're just trying to take some of our old songs that we really love and they deserve a good recording, and then we're also writing a bunch of stuff that's sort of supposed to be inspirational but not too over the top, you know. Mm-hmm. Just try to get some people who need it.
I've noticed on your MySpace you guys make some really cool comments about that it's not just about the music, it's about something else. Can you go into that a little bit?
Yeah, it's definitely like for me personally, I'm a Christian guy, and I do my best, you know, but we all stumble, I guess, in that pursuit. But more so than even that, it's just like, if we all like take a step and just every day like do something encouraging, I've noticed in my personal life that my days are better, and people around me, their days are better. And like, if we could just like sort of set that vibe, and that's sort of our aim, is just make a difference, take a stand, and like just get strong in what you believe in, you know, and honor, be honorable. And I think for me, like, that's going to lead people to God. But more than that, even, well, not that there's anything more than that to me, but I guess it's just doing something good, you know, and the good you do is going to come back to you and just turn hearts and turn them on.
What do you guys got planned? What does the summer look like? Got some shows coming up, tours, anything like that?
Oh, man, we've got a lot of different things, you know, in the works. Our big thing right now is a new band showcase for Cornerstone. Mm-hmm. We're in first place on their thing, and that would put us on the main stage, and I heard we would open for Switchfoot or something to that extent, and that'd be pretty incredible. It'd be a good
Amazing.
Opportunity for sure. But we're going to, as soon as we find out more on Cornerstone, we're going to try to plan around that better.
When is the voting in for that?
It's May 15th is when it ends, so...
Okay, so how could you point our listeners to go vote
for
you guys?
Actually, there's a simple link on our MySpace, and it just says, you know, vote for Sterling for Cornerstone 07.
Okay.
And just myspace.com/Sterling. That's probably, like, the easiest way.
Well, there you go, guys. You've been listening to some of their tunes on the podcast. So if you want to help get them on Cornerstone main stage to open for Switchfoot, which I think would be an unbelievable show, which maybe you guys need a second guitar player or something for that.
Yeah, we will, actually.
All right, man. Well, maybe I'll be out there for it then. Nice. Hey, people recognize you as, you know, a Rock for Life supporting band or anything like that, but what do you think you would do if a young girl came up to you guys, like at a show or just wherever, she was contemplating abortion? Have you guys ever thought of that? Or, like, maybe what kind of advice you would give to her?
Come really close to that. It wasn't a girl, it was a boy the other day who came up to me, and this guy I've really respected and known for a long time, and he's grown as a friend, and he was just like, well, I'm having a baby and I want her to have an abortion and all this stuff. And as his friend, you know, I had to lay into him and go, are you serious? You know, because I have all these high expectations and this good Christian guy, and he's telling me all these things, and I'm pretty much, as a friend, called him out. And you know, that's what you do with the boy. But with the young girl, you know, there's adoption, and a lot of people can't have children, and they would love the opportunity. So I would just send them in the direction of, you know, there's always somebody you can talk to, and there's nothing you could do that's as bad as that.
All right, Brian, thanks again. Thanks for your support. Thanks for talking to us, and we'll stay in touch.
Definitely. Thanks, Eric.
All right, man.
Have a good one, man.
You too, man. God bless.
You're listening to the Rock for Life podcast. With me in the studio is Josh Pruitt, formerly of Rock for Life Georgia. How you doing, Josh?
What's up, man? Pretty good.
Yeah. What made you decide to get actively involved in pro-life things?
Actually, I was at a show, an MXPX show in Atlanta, and there was a Rock for Life booth set up there. Started talking to the kid that was running it, and got pretty much some information as far as how to contact Rock for Life on the internet, and got in touch with you. Mm-hmm. And started a chapter in Atlanta, Georgia, and just went from there, started booking shows, started going on tours, coming out, hanging out with the Rock for Life guys more.
Now, I remember the first time we met you last year, it was probably about 3 a.m, when me and Courtney Blythe from the Charlotte, North Carolina chapter came into town. We were on our way to Cornerstone, Florida last spring, and we stopped in Atlanta to pick you up and to go protest the FDA over their decision to allow RU486. Now, if I'm correct in my remembering, that was your very first protest, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was, actually. It was kind of fun. There's actually pictures of that protest, or pictures of us standing out with the signs on the Rock for Life MySpace still from last year,
mm-hmm.
which is pretty cool.
It's not too bad. Your very first protest, it ended up in the media.
Exactly.
There we go. How long have you been involved with Rock for Life? Was it shortly before that, right? You got involved?
Yeah, I got involved with Rock for Life around December, like 2 Decembers ago. So it was right before my 19th birthday is when I got involved. Really, like I said, you know, just seeing the booth at the show and stuff, it was kind of the first pro-life organization that I was introduced to, which was cool. But I also did do my research on other ministries and other organizations, and I picked Rock for Life because it was more music-centered, which is basically where my life has had me since I was like 15. I was managing a venue when I started my Rock for Life chapter, so I stuck with something that was more towards where my life was going at the time.
So Josh, what are some interesting ways that you think young people can promote the pro-life message?
There's hundreds and hundreds of ways that people that aren't even 18 years old can get out there. You know, you can get started doing a Rock for Life chapter in your hometown. You can get started by just talking to people online. There's websites such as MySpace and Facebook. There's hundreds of those websites that you can get involved in talking to people, starting groups and stuff like that. Myself, about a year ago, I started my own website, which is linked as www.prolifesource.com, which is basically pro-life contact tables, network banners, quotes, just fun little images and stuff that you can put onto your MySpace or use them however you wish.
I don't know where I read it, but I do remember hearing that the average American teenager spends more time online now than they do watching TV.
I definitely believe that.
Mm-hmm. Well, Josh, thank you very much for coming in today and talking with us. And thank you even more so for all the work you've done at Rock for Life, Georgia, and for all the help you're doing here in the office.
Thanks a lot, man. Thanks for having me.
You're listening to the Rock for Life podcast. Thanks a ton for listening. And this is brought to you by generous donations from all of our supporters nationwide. We got some awesome events coming up. April 28th, Rock for Life Greenville is hosting an event called the Radical Love, the Power of Purity Pro-Life Rally, featuring Stephanie Wood, who is the host of Next Wave Faithful radio show, which you can listen to at nextwavefaithful.com. That will be at St. Joseph's Catholic High School, 6 to 10, $10. May 19th is a Rock for Life show. A portion of the proceeds go to benefit Rock for Life, featuring Becoming the Archetype. That is in Gettysburg, 5:30 p.m., 10 bones. Portion of the proceeds.
Did you say Gettysburg, Pennsylvania?
I said 10 bones. That's kind of old school, huh? Bones. What's the new word for dollars?
Dollars.
Okay. Fine. $10. Portion of... Oh, I already said that. $10.
June 27th to July 8th, Eric will be attending the 10th... And speaking at the 10th annual pro-life training camp hosted by Survivors, an active, very active pro-life youth organization in California that uses street activism to educate about the horrors of abortion. An interesting thing here, Courtney Blythe and Joey Cox, both involved with Survivors and both very instrumental in that group, are former Rock for Life chapter leaders.
Imagine that.
Yeah. The event will be hosted in the Los Angeles area. And when you mention Rock for Life and registration, you say $50.
Amazing. July 20th through 22nd is How to Save a Life, Generation Life's annual summer conference featuring Christopher West. That'll be located at Eastern University in St. David's, Pennsylvania. For all of these events and more, go to rockforlife.org, click on Action, then the calendar.
All right, that's our show today. Thanks for Joey for telling us what now with Planned Parenthood. Brian Briquet from the band Sterling. Thank you, Brian. And many thanks to Josh Pruitt for all of his help here in the office and for sitting down and talking to us today.
Thanks for listening to the Rock for Life podcast. You can reach us at podcast@rockforlife.org. Again, podcast@rockforlife.org. Or give us a call at 866-552-3368. Again, that is 866-552-3368.
Rock for Life is a project of American Life League, pro-life without exceptions and without compromise. You really like it, yeah.